Right. That's the theme that was chosen for the conference this year. But Sister Renee, when she asked me to do the morning service, gave me a verse that I think is very appropriate in the context of what Dr. Mosher just read. And it's from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, the first word in this passage that has some directivity to it is seeking. It's not just a matter of I want. I'm going to get that. That's for me. I know that God wouldn't refuse me if I just ask him. You know, there's some folks that just believe that they can pull a rabbit out of a hat when it comes to their prayers and getting them answered by God. But that word in the Greek has some integrity to it. It has a standing of where you are, you know, relying on something that is not based on who you are or what you can do. And I'm here to tell you, after being a Christian for 65 years, that I know that without God I can do nothing. Amen. That he's able to do everything, and he can do it through you if you're willing to seek him and put him first in your life. You know, a lot of us have ambitions. We want to be this or that. This microphone wants to be something else. I like it. And yet, you know what has come to mind? That when I take my hands off of it and follow his leading, that he opens doors that I couldn't possibly go through. And when I find myself bumping my head up against the wall, it's because he's closed the door. He doesn't want me to try to knock down. Because if it's not there for me, then the only thing I can do is mess it up anyway. And we've got to learn that. Today we live in a society that is motivated all about self-interest. What can I get from this world that will help me be more like you know, the guy next door? Or the one that has that title that says doctor or theologian or minister or reverend or what? You've never heard me use my title since I've been a member of this conference, and you never will, because God didn't choose me to be a minister to say, look at Dr. So-and-so. Or, no, he called us to be his representative. He called us to mention his name above all else, to be able to seek him first and know that he's the one who's going to lead us, what, into truth, into righteousness, and to be able to glorify him. Because the world is looking for some they can put their trust in. They can try politics, they try social agendas, they try philosophy, they try psychology, but all of those things just put patches on a sore that's still festering. And we need to know that instead of just patching our bodies and saying, look at me, they have to have something that's deeper than just the outward appearance. And what is it? The kingdom of God. Now, you know, heaven is a thing that a lot of people have a somewhat ethereal view of. In Genesis, it tells us God created the heavens and the earth. You ever thought about where was God before he created the heavens and the earth? Try figuring that one out. Or was there a God before the heavens and the earth were created? Or is he part of them? We have philosophers that want to tell us that God is part of everything. But my Bible doesn't tell me that. It tells me he's omniscient, omnipotent, that he's transcendent, and yet immanent. And he can still interact with us because he's chosen to. And, you know, there's a character to God that he wants us to develop in our relationship with him as we interact with one another here on this earth. And we all know about the fruits of the Spirit, right? In Galatians 5:20 through 23. But There's a three chapters in the back in the book of Matthew that give us the outline for who God wants us to be. And we have to go back to the Sermon on the Mount. That's where he opened the door for the Jewish nation to be able to see what they were missing.
Yes.
Because he told them that you have to be able to get that self-motivated spirit of realizes, well, I'm autonomous, you know. I've got everything I need because I've got my bank account, I've got my job, I've got my home, my car's in the driveway, and socially everybody accepts me. But they're walking around empty because they don't realize the need that they have for God. And that's what Christians had to come to just to get to the place of saying, Lord, you know, I know I can't fix myself.
All right.
I need for you to fix me.
All right.
I remember the day I said that, and it was after being a Christian for a while, too, because, you know, as a teenager, you can get distracted. You can find that things out there look pretty good, you know, and I still had some sight, and I could see what was going on, and I could find that there were things that I wanted to do, places I wanted to go, and things I wanted to be and have for myself. That those things are all good. God has never made anything bad. When he created the world, he said it was good, and it's still good. It's what we do with it that determines how it's going to work in our lives to be a benefit to one another and to build the body of Christ. And we have to learn that, hey, sometimes those things that don't look so good are little lessons that he's teaching us to be able to appreciate his goodness. Because, you know, people think sometimes, I deserve this. The only thing we deserve, and I'm putting it bluntly, is hell. Because we had nothing to offer him.
That's right.
We had nothing that we could give him that says, Lord, you've got to accept me on my basis or what I've done or who I am. We all came in this world sinners and alienated from his righteousness.
All right.
We are not going to achieve that based on your works. You can do the works, but they have to be based on his righteousness.
All right.
And if we give him the place of first in our life, then we're going to be able to say, hey, I can mourn over my sin.
All right.
Yeah. Doesn't mean I have to carry the guilt because I laid that down at the cross.
All right.
But I need to know that there's times when I think, Lord, what made you think of me and offer salvation to me? Because I know I wasn't worthy. You know, I know.
Right.
And yet, Lord, you gave me your word. You gave me the opportunity to understand it and the will to say yes, Lord, to your will and know that I was saved because you witnessed to me through your spirit and sealed me by it, putting a down payment on that salvation. And you know what? I put down payments on cars and went back and said, I don't want that one. Give me my money back. Gone to stores and bought things and found out they didn't fit, but I had to take them back and say, hey, I want a refund. I can't, and I don't think there's anybody in here that I hope believes that God's going to give you a refund. He's only going to increase the blessings that he's extended to you and teach you how to enjoy them and be a benefactor of them. Oh, yes. And you know what? That meant I had to get a little meek. You know, I don't have to prove my point to everybody that challenges it. Because God's already stated who he is, what he's going to do, and whom he's going to do it with. Those that put their pride in the dust. Those that are willing to lay that, arrogant, rebellious little attitude aside. Look around you. You talk to people today, you've got to be careful what you say. Because if you say the wrong thing, they're ready to jump on you and road rage and all kinds of things. Look, I walk around in my community because I still feel that I'd like to have the freedom that it offers to be able to travel. And I was on my way to a store that I've been friends of the proprietor now for about 15 years, and he's Jewish. And we, they call us brothers because we look a lot alike. I've got 10 years on him, but he still looks as old as I do. I'm getting ready to step off the curb when I hear one of those cars speeding, and I step back just in time to avoid being plastered on the pavement and trying to fix one of the potholes in Philadelphia. And his worker's standing on the curb saying, "Boy, you almost bought it there." I said, "Well, you know, the Lord is good. He allowed me to hear that car coming." God will allow us to see things from his perspective, and to know that we don't have to be on top all the time, because he's guiding and leading us. It's wonderful just to learn that God is the one who wants to rule the day that you live and the heart that's in your body, because he's the one who cares for you, loves you enough to look out for you. Now, sometimes we get in trouble anyway, but that's because we want to go to the woodshed. You know, we've got these, you know, little attitudes that we've picked up along the way, and we want to exercise them. And he'll let us suffer every once in a while. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that has a broken leg or an ankle or whatever is, you know, sometimes it's just carelessness. I had a sister who was staying with me after my mother went on to glory, and we're talking, and she goes down the steps. She's not paying any attention to what she's doing, so she turned and lost her footing and went halfway down, the bone sticking out of her ankle at the bottom of the step there. But I got the opportunity to take care of her for 3 months. And, you know, she tried to sue me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, she appreciated me. She really did. Wow. But it didn't happen because the Lord didn't let her go down. But I, you know, I didn't tell her, "Get out of my house and don't come back." No, I just kept on taking care of her while she'd gone through her motions, because she was my sister, you know, and we grew up together. We fought in the street together. We, you know, hung out together. But she just had a different idea about life. And I wanted her to see that it wasn't based on what I could get from whoever I could get it from, because I wanted it and I was going to have it. Because that would not have been the way that I would have shown mercy to her. You know, I helped her get their food, and I'm not claiming that it was real great. Anybody should do that for a loved one.
Yeah.
You know, if you care anything about people, you
That's
have
right.
to look past their
That's
faults
right. That's right.
and see their need. And she's went on to glory, and I hope one day that we're going to meet in that place where God has prepared for those that love him. I can't guarantee that, because she told me she did, but her actions didn't show it.
Yeah.
And that may be the case with some in this room. You know, you may have made a confession of Christ in your life, but you haven't grown very much.
Mm.
And that's because you haven't desired to have God, you know, as close in your life as he wants to be. And we can do that. We can close the door and say, "Lord, I'm going to do what I want to do," and until sometimes you find yourself laying up wondering, "How did you get here?"
Yeah.
Well, Lord, can you help me now?
Yeah.
Anybody ever find that when you're in a foxhole, you need some help? But God's merciful, and he wants us to be righteous. You know, his righteousness will get us past all of those difficulties.
Right.
His righteousness will show us how to treat one another. His righteousness will represent him in a world that has no standards anymore.
Yeah.
Look around you, folks. It's getting darker out there. We have to be the light of the world. Whether you have eyes or don't have eyes, your heart is what people will see, not your. Somebody told me this morning, "That's a nice suit you got on." I don't even know what it looks like. But you know what? I put it on because I want to represent him.
Yeah.
And when I get up to speak, I'll dress up. Because I think he's already dressed me up.
All right.
And I wanted people to know that he is good, and that there's nothing that he does not wish for us to enjoy in this world, even in the hard times. that you can walk around with a smile on your face because you have what we call the joy of the Lord. Most people, I want to be happy. Happiness is a fleeting moment because of some exhilaration over something that we've acquired, or somebody has paid us an accolade or given us some little bit of information that makes us feel that now we are on straight street. But I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord is something that is in your heart day by day, something that when times are tough, you can deal with the situation. Right. Yeah. Sometimes when things don't go right, yeah, you can say, thank you, Lord, because I learned something from that. Yeah. Or, Lord, I can glorify you through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's all going just the way I want, sometimes I remember to say, thank you, Lord. Mm. Sometimes I don't remember to say, Lord, you know what? I couldn't have done that without you. I wouldn't have known how to deal with it. I used to, as Brother Nida said, when I started school ministry 26 years ago, I had a 60-foot tower up behind my house and a big antenna, I mean a 24-foot three-element tri-band that I've talked all over the world with no problem, and 1,000 watts to back it up. And, you know, the Lord put in my heart, you know, you need to take that down. Why? Because I never got a permit to put it up. And I argued back and forth with him for a year. But I finally came to the conclusion, Lord, that if they come out and challenge me on this, it's a $5,000 fine. So I took it down. And you know what? It hasn't stopped me from talking one bit.
Yeah.
I found out I could put it on my roof. I got a 3-story house. And 12 foot above the roof, I can put anything I want without asking them whether it's need a permit or not. It's legal. And we do have to follow the laws of the land.
All right.
You know, just because we live in a legalistic society doesn't mean that we can go about doing what we feel like doing because we're set free. You know, we are free. We're free to give God the glory. We're free to walk with him and to know that he can lead us in through situations that, you know, they put down laws on. How many know that adultery is wrong?
Yeah.
How many know that fornication is wrong?
Yeah.
How many know that stealing is wrong?
Yes.
How many know that murder is wrong?
Yes.
Or covetousness? These things God's laid out for us.
Yes.
And when we do them, and Christians do them too, we suffer the consequences just like the world. You can be in jail and be a Christian.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that I remember as a youngster was, I don't like being behind bars. I don't want anybody restricting my movement.
Mm.
So that was an incentive to me because, believe it or not, do I look like a bank robber? I used to think about robbing banks when I was a teenager. And, but I thought, you know, I want to be a jailbird. So I left that one alone. And I had to go to work and work for a living, and found out that I can make it if I just put the time in and the effort and treated people fairly. I took a little town down in Jersey called Glassboro and literally had all the mechanics business inside of 2 years and was making money hand over fist because the Lord gave me the ability there to be able to just walk up to a car and tell people what was wrong with it.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And people got to know that and they started coming, right? Mm-hmm. But then I got to a point where, you know what, I don't need to pay these taxes. I can put this much over here and that much over there, and they'll never know the difference.
Uh-oh.
But God knew the difference.
Yes.
And 6 years into it, I opened up and picked up a work order I'd written the night before and couldn't read my own writing. And I said, well, Lord, I guess this is where the road, rubber meets the road, right? Because in the next 2 years, my whole life changed. But, you know, it changed for the better because I had the idea I could do anything I wanted and be a success at it. And I was pretty much doing that. But you know what? I was still empty. I wasn't where the Lord wanted me to be. Because he opened that business up for me with $1,500 and a couple of lies. And the manager of the Exxon company down. He said, I knew you'd make it. But he didn't know that God had another plan. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You could think that you're going to work your plan for God to put his stamp on it, but it's not going to happen. I'm here to tell you that when you've been down that road, you'll find it's better just to leave it in his hands, mm-hmm. and let him lead and guide you through this life, and you'll have the victory in every case, even through those things that don't seem like they're going right, because he's still in charge, and it's his righteousness that we want to have as a means of walking this walk, because it will clean you up. He says, be pure in heart. When you start lying to people, you got to back that up with something else. It's usually another lie. So if you just tell it like it is up front, and make sure that the motive you have is one that's based on his word, you'll find that life gets so much easier. And we don't have to, you know, prove it to somebody else. When people tell me that they're doing something because this is what so-and-so said, or because that's the way they think about it, then you haven't gotten into God's word and found out what he's said about. And when you do that, it's going to certainly change your view of life and to make you a benefactor of those that you're working with, rather than just trying to get along with the crowd. I don't choose my friends. I let them choose me. Because if I choose them, I'd be down the racetrack today. Watching them cars. I used to race at ATCO. And every Sunday, I'd take the family down there, and we'd race my little car down there. And I'd see them put a sticker on the window, and I just felt like, oh, boy, look, got another one. Now, I look at people, and I say, Lord, let's see if we can get them to realize who you are, and to give their lives into your hand so that I can celebrate with them the victory that you've already given me. And you have to have a burden for people to do that. As Christians, we're not just celebrating this gathering here, but we're here fishing. You know that? You want to find out? If you find somebody in here that doesn't know these things and these truths and hasn't embraced them, you want to let them know what God's done in your life and how good he's been to you, and that what he's offered us and made a reality in our life is real. It's not something that we imagined or something that we chose to put on one day and say, I'm going to be a Christian. You ever had anybody tell you that?
I'm not
a Christian, but I'm going to be a Christian one day. Just not today. You know my first answer to them? If it waits on you making the choice when you get ready, you're never going to make it. Because when God's speaking to your heart, the word says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. You can't put God on the hold and say, I'll get back to you when I feel like it. Pharaoh tried that. Didn't work for him. Saul, first king of Israel, tried it. You pray to him. He's your God. No, he's got to be your God. He's got to be personal in your life. And his righteousness is what he gives you, because he cleans you up and takes your sin. That's a pretty fair exchange. You get a status with God of being perfectly righteous, as Martha told us that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Right. God has given us all the benefits of heaven to enjoy right here on earth. And the word in Luke chapter 17 says this, that heaven is within you.
That's right.
Yeah. If you want to know where heaven is, just look in the mirror and say, God, what are you going to do with me today? And he'll let you know if you're willing to listen and be directed in those thoughts that he shares with you through his word. We have the book. It tells us how to live. It tells us who is in charge, who is sovereign. It tells us what the outcome's going to be. And we need to learn to desire to learn about him. We're not just learning theology. We're learning how to relate to the sovereign God of the universe.
All right.
And as his children, you know, we're servants right now because we still haven't been perfected. But one day, we're going to be full-fledged sons.
All right.
And enjoy all the benefits that he shared with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May God bless you.
Yes.
All right. I had asked Dr. Mosher to close us in prayer, give it a benediction.
Me.
Blessing wants to do it. Maybe someday she will.
Okay.
I've got a mic over here that she's not
having. Oh, it's all right. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you that you brought us to the place where we belong to you. We thank you for gathering us together to fellowship in your name. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage us. Lord, that we would follow your plan. And Lord, that we would not try to find our own way. But Lord, that you would just use us through your word, that Lord, we might be to the praise of the glory of your grace, that others might see Christ in us. Lord, as we go around the hotel, the restaurants, wherever, Lord, may people see that we have something that they don't have. And Lord, that you'll give us the opportunity to share. And Father, thank you for the service this morning. And Lord, just bless this day, we pray. And Lord, and Father, may we just be the salt of the earth that you want us to be, and go in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Father.
Thank you.